ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Then to continue with Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah, the creed compiled by Abu Ja'far Al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then the previous 2 weeks, we had a section with regard to the Qur'an, and that the Qur'an is a speech of Allah, and so on. And in last week's section, we had points number 48 to 57, which began, وَأَيْقَنُوا أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِالْحَقِيقَةِ And they have certainty, I mean the people of the Sunnah have certainty, that it, the Qur'an, is the speech of Allah, the Most High, بِالْحَقِيقَةِ In reality, in truth. Then, as we saw, then At-Tahawi, he uses the word here when affirming that the Qur'an is a speech of Allah, the Most High, he said, بِالْحَقِيقَةِ In reality. Then we had that this was a refutation, this term at the end here was a refutation of which people? Those who say what?
The Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, who say that it's just metaphorical, rather than actual words and sentences.
No, as the brother mentioned, it's in refutation of those like the Jahmiyyah and Mu'tazila and those who follow their way, those who say the Qur'an is metaphorically the speech of Allah, not his speech in reality. So this is in refutation of them. So what, we had the point in the explanation, what do they actually say, these people and these deviants, what do they say that the Qur'an actually is then? What do they say about the Qur'an, these deviants? Obviously we take their saying and we look into it to some extent as a refutation, to refute it and to keep away from it and to beware of it. So what do they actually say that the Qur'an is?
Some of them say that Jibreel took it from Allah al-Mahfuz and then Prophet Muhammad said as well. While some of them say that it was revealed in something else and that it was taken from there. It wasn't actually spoken by Allah.
And their saying can be summarized to say that they say the Quran is what? Created or? That they say the Quran is created. It's something which Allah created in His creation. And upon that saying of theirs, which is deviation, that the Qur'an is something created, how do they then go on to affirm that it is Allah's speech? How can they then say it's Allah's speech if it's something created? Upon their saying, they say it's something created. How can they then agree that it's Allah's speech? They say it's an ascription of respect, they say. An idafa, an ascription of respect. They say the book of Allah means a book which Allah has given great respect and honour to. Not that it's actually his speech in reality. So in refuting them, Shaykh Al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he mentions a principle in this regard. What's the principle that he mentioned about things which are ascribed to Allah? Things which are ascribed to Allah of how many categories and what are the two categories?
Two categories.
Yeah.
Things which attributes Allah. Things which are objects.
Yeah.
Use like Syria, objects like Baytullah.
Yeah. Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned the important principle that things which are ascribed to Allah are of two categories. The first are those things which are meanings, or which are qualities, such as seeing and hearing and speech and so on, then these we affirm for Allah as being attributes of Allah. And he said the second category are objects ascribed to Allah, solid objects ascribed to Allah, such as the she-camel of Allah, the house of Allah, and so on, then these things are objects which are ascribed to Allah upon the basis of giving honor to those things, an idafa of tashrif, that they are ascribed to Allah to give honor. Allah gives honor to them by ascribing them to Himself. So with regard to the Quran, with regard to the speech of Allah, then which did that for, which category was that? The Quran being the speech of Allah, which category was that? Yeah. It's Allah's, one of Allah's attributes. Allah's speech is one of His attributes. Contrary to what the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah say. The speech of Allah is uncreated. The Quran is not created. What we had the point in the explanation as well, that which we've had a number of times before, that the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah and their like, who are all covered by the term the Mu'attila, those who deny Allah's attributes, or some of them, they make an excuse for denying these attributes. What is the excuse they try and use? Why? What's their excuse? They say we deny this attribute, or we say it's metaphorical. For what reason? What's their excuse that they use? They say that we're fleeing away from making the Creator like the creation, for fear that if we affirm for Allah attributes, then they're afraid that these attributes are like the attributes of the creation. So they say we'll flee, we'll deny these attributes for Allah. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said they fall into something far worse, which is denying His attribute, denying Allah's attributes, and depriving Him of His attributes. And Shaykh al-Fawzan said, if only they followed the correct way, they would be safe and sound. The correct way being what in this regard? With regard to affirmation of Allah's attributes, how could they have escaped the error of their ways? By doing what? How could they correctly affirm Allah's attributes and still avoid causing Allah to resemble His creation? By saying what?
To affirm for Allah whatever He has affirmed and whatever the Messenger has affirmed.
Yeah. And?
Without doing, by saying basically to He showed what He has affirmed.
Yeah. Bear in mind the important point that. Bear in mind the important point, affirming Allah's attributes, affirming for Allah whatever He affirmed for Himself and whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirmed for Him with regard to attributes, bearing in mind, as the Shaykh said, the very great difference between the attributes of the Creator and the attributes of the creation. That the attributes of the Creator are not like the attributes of the creation. So if they only affirmed His attributes with this principle in mind, then they would avoid both evils. The evils of denying His attributes and the evils of causing Him to resemble His, or holding Him to resemble His creation. We also had the ruling on a person who hears the Quran and claims that it is the speech of a human. What is the ruling on a person like this? One who hears the Quran and declares that that is the speech of a human. No. He's a kafir, an unbeliever. And the proof for that, we had also the proof for that, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, he's an unbeliever. The one who states that he hears the Quran and states the Quran is the speech of a human, he is an unbeliever. And the evidence for that we had, in huwa qawl min bashar. The man who was called Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, he heard the Quran and at first he was amazed with it, and he said it's not poetry, it's not magic, it's not this, and Then his people, they said, what you're saying is it's revelation then. So then he realized and stopped, and they rebuked him. So then he went back on him. He went back on himself. And said, okay, it's magic then, it's sorcery, and so on. And they said that it's the speech of a human. So then Allah refuted him and stated the ayah that came from Surah Al-Muddathir. Sa'uslihi saqar. I will burn him in the hellfire. I'll burn him in the hellfire for stating that Quran is the speech of a human. We also had then finally, as a final question, the ruling on a person who declares that Allah is like his creation in any human characteristics. That Allah has human characteristics, or that Allah's attributes are like human attributes. What is the ruling on a person like that, that Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned? Yeah. Likewise, a kafir, an unbeliever. Then with regard to this week, then we'll take the point, the next point, point number 58, inshallah, something different. The saying of At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, وَالرُّؤْيَةُ حَقٌّ لِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ بِغَيْرِ إِحَاطَةٍ وَلَا كَيْفِيَّةٍ. And seeing Allah by the people of Paradise is true without their encompassing him, and without us knowing how it will be. And the ru'ya, the seeing Allah, that is, by the people of Paradise is true, without their encompassing him, and without us knowing how it will be, without us knowing the kayfiyyah, without us knowing how that will be. And just with regard to this point, to show the importance of this point, obviously all the points are important, but just as further emphasis, then in the larger explanation of Ibn Abil Izz said with regard to this point, this matter is one of the noblest matters from the principles of the religion, and from the most tremendous of them. And it is the limit which those people who strive for, and those people who vie for. In this point, the seeing of Allah. Seeing Allah, the Most High, on the Day of Resurrection. And he said, and those will be deprived, those who are screened away from their Lord, they will be truly deprived, those who are turned away from his door. Stressing the importance of this matter, the ru'ya, seeing Allah on the Day of Resurrection. This is one of the greatest of the matters from the fundamentals of the religion, and this is a great goal which people who strive for, to attain this seeing Allah. And those who are deprived of it are truly deprived, in the fullest sense of the word deprived. Those who are screened away from seeing Allah. May Allah save us from that. So then, Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, الرؤية, the seeing, means the believers seeing their Lord, the perfect and most high. In the term in the Arabic is just الرؤية, the seeing. When it's used in the books of Aqidah here like this, this term الرؤية is used with the meaning, as he said, meaning the believers seeing their Lord, the perfect and most high. Because the believers will see their Lord, the Perfect and Most High, in the hereafter. In the hereafter. They will see him openly with their eyes, just as they see the moon on the night when it is full, and just as they see the sun bright and clear when there is no cloud cover to hide it. Just as the chosen prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam al-Mustafa, just as the chosen prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed about in the authentic and mutawatir ahadith from him alayhi salatu wassalam. Then in a footnote they mention one of these hadith. They mention from Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali radiyallahu anhu, who said, "Kunna 'inda an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa nadhara ila al-qamari laylata ya'ni al-Badr fa qala innakum satarawna rabbakum kama tarawna hadha al-qamar la tudamuna fi ru'yatihi." And from Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali radiyallahu anhu, who said, "We were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he looked at the moon on the night when it was full, and he said, 'You will certainly see your Lord just as you see this moon. You will not be put to trouble in seeing him.'" Hadith reported by al-Bukhari as hadith 554 and by Muslim. And just a side point, some of the explainers make the point, in case someone misunderstands, that this hadith affirms seeing Allah truly and really, just as we truly and really see the moon and the sun. It doesn't mean that the way in which it's a description of the way in which Allah will be seen is like the way in which the moon and sun are seen. What is being seen is, means Allah being seen is like the moon and sun being seen. No. Rather, that just as you truly and clearly see the sun and moon, then likewise you will truly see Allah. Then back to the point, then Shaykh al-Fawzan in the explanation said, continuing, "And so therefore the author said, 'Ar-ru'yatu haqq,' the seeing is haqq, is true." The seeing is true. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, it is affirmed by the book and the sunnah and the ijma'. The book is affirmed by the book and by the sunnah and by the consensus of the people of the sunnah and the jama'ah. From the salaf, from the predecessors, and from the Khalaf, from the later peoples. Nobody disagrees about that, except for the Mubtadi'ah, except for the innovators, and the people of the deviant ways. At this point, we'll just mention something else that Ibn Abdul Izz mentions, as the Shaykh al-Fawzan said here, nobody differs about this. With regard to the believers seeing Allah on the day of resurrection, then the book proves it, the sunnah proves it, and there is ijma, total consensus of the people of the sunnah upon it. He mentioned only the deviants, the innovators, disagree. Ibn Abil Izz mentions who they are. He said, the ones who disagree and differ about seeing, they are the Jahmiyya and the Mu'tazila. Yet again, the same two sects, the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, and those who followed them from the Khawarij and the Imamiyyah, I mean the Shia. And their saying is false and futile, and it is rejected by the book and the sunnah. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan continued with the explanation, saying, "So the believers will see their Lord, the Perfect and Most High, just as He, the Perfect, said, 'Wujuhun yawma'idhin nadhira ila rabbiha nadhira.'" Surah Al-Qiyamah, the 75th surah, ayahs 22 and 23. With the explanation that on the day of resurrection, on that day, some faces will be radiant, looking at their Lord. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and they are the faces of the believers. So he quoted the first ayah as a proof for seeing, for the believers seeing Allah on the day of resurrection. So he said, the wujuh, the first ayah, wujuhun yawma idhin nadira, some faces on that day will be radiant. He said, they are the faces of the believers. And the second ayah, ila rabbiha nadira, looking at their Lord. Shaykh Fawzan then said, as for the word in the first ayah, nadira, the faces will be radiant. He said, meaning, from an-nadra, this is from radiance, which means brilliance and beauty. This is a description of the faces of the believers. Then he gives another ayah, again describing the faces of the believers. تَعَرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَظْرَةً نَعِيمٌ Surah Al-Mutaffifin, the 83rd surah, ayah 24. With the explanation, you will recognize upon their faces the radiance of bliss. So it's another ayah that mentions the radiance of the faces of the believers, like the ayah from Surah Al-Qiyamah. Then he goes to the second part of the original ayah, Surah Al-Qiyamah, the 23rd ayah. And as for the second ayah, إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَ, looking at their Lord, he said, as for نَاظِرَ, looking, then it means looking with the eyes. Looking with the eyes. You say, نَظَرْتُ إِلَى كَذَا, I looked upon such and such. When you mean, I saw it. أَبْصَرْتُهُ. I looked upon it, mean I saw it. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan makes a language point here and says, another, the term another, usually with the meaning of looking, as occurs here. He said the term another, it has different usages in the book of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And then he mentions three different usages for this term. Obviously, the point, one of the points the Shaykh is making here is that some people of innovation, sometimes they try and use a word and they say it's used one certain way, and they try and make it always be used that one certain way. So the Shaykh is making clear here, this word here, another, looking, has different usages in the book of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And he makes mentions three different usages. Firstly, if it is used with the term illa, towards or to, I mean looking towards or looking to, then it means al-ma'ayana bil-absar. It means seeing with the eyes. And he gives an example of that. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ Surah Al-Ghashiyah, the 88th surah, ayahs 17 and 18. With the explanation, will they not look upon the camels at how they have been created, and at the sky and how it has been raised? So in the ayah, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ, so the term nadhr is used with a illa. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ, will they not look upon the camels at how they have been created, and at the and وَإِلَى, again the illa is used, and at the sky and how it has been raised. Shaykh al-Fawzan says it's the first usage of the nadhr with the meaning of looking when the term illa is used with it, when the particle illa is used. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, will they not look with their eyes at these amazing parts of the creation which prove the power and ability of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic? So this is the first usage of nadhr, looking, when the term is used with nadhr and illa, looking at, looking upon. Then it means, as he said, looking with the eyes, looking and seeing. The Shaykh said that's the usage in this ayah. And in this ayah, إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. The ayah that is under discussion here, Surah Al-Qiyamah, ayah 23. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Looking at their Lord. Sheikh said, using the term إِلَىٰ. So that's the first usage of the nadhar in the Quran, of looking. In the Quran, it means looking. When it's used with ila, nadhar, ila, means looking and seeing. As occurs in this ayah, looking at their Lord. Then he said, bringing the second usage, and when nadhar is used on its own, without any intermediate particle, then it means halting and waiting. And then in this case, nadhar, when there's no particle illa, no particle along with it, just nadhar, then it means halting and waiting. And he gives an ayah to prove this.
يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا انظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِن نُورِكُمْ.
Surah Al-Hadid, the 57th surah, ayah 13. With the explanation, on the day when the male and female hypocrites will say to those who believe, "Unzuruna, wait for us, so that we can acquire some of your light." So this term is used here. Nadhar is mentioned here, without any particle along with it. Unzuruna, wait for us. As the Sheikh said, Unzuruna means intadhiruna, wait for us. He said, they're saying this, meaning so that we can derive some light from your light. This is what the hypocrites will say to the believers on the day of resurrection. Wait for us, so that we can derive some light from your light. Because the hypocrites, their light will be extinguished, and Allah's refuge is sought. Amen. So they will remain in darkness. So therefore they will seek from the believers to wait for them until they can take some light from their light. So this is the second usage of nadhar in the Quran. Nadhar with no illa along with it, no particle along with it, just nadhar. Then it means waiting and halting. And he gives another ayah with this usage. He said, and his saying, He the Most High, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 210. With the explanation, do they but await that Allah should come to them? هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ. Do they but await? Again, nadhar is used with no particle along with it, just nadhar. يَنْظُرُونَ. Do they but await that Allah should come to them? Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, meaning, they do not await except the coming of the Lord on the day of resurrection to carry out judgment between his slaves. So this is the second usage of nadhar in the Quran, when it's not used with any particle along with it, just nadhar, just the noun or the verb, nadhar, with no particle along with it. Then it means waiting and halting. Then he brings the third usage. He said, and when it is used, when nadhar is used with the particle fi, into, then it means at tafakkur and al-i'tibar. When nadhar, looking, is used with the term fi, into, look mean looking into something, then he said, then it carries the meaning of reflecting and considering. And he gives a proof of that. He said, just as Allah the Most High said, أَوَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 185. With the explanation, will they not reflect upon the dominion of the heavens and the earth? Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, meaning, reflect
upon those things created by Allah in the heavens and upon the earth. And take this as a proof for the power and ability of Allah, the Creator, He the Perfect and Most High, and of His being deserving of all worship. So here, Shaykh al-Fawzan has mentioned the three different usages of nadhar, looking or waiting or reflecting in the Qur'an. And just to summarize, if nadhar occurs with ilah, then it's taken to mean looking and seeing. Looking at something, seeing something. Secondly, if it's not used with the particle at all, it's just on its own, the verb or noun on its own, then it means waiting and halting. And thirdly, if it's used with the particle fi, looking into something, and it carries the meaning considering and reflecting. Then he says, Al-Hasil. So in summary, that nadhar here, because what's on discussion is these ayah proving that the believers will see Allah. The ayah from Surah Al-Qiyamah. Ila Rabbiha Nadhira. The believers will be looking at their Lord. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so here another is used with the particle illa, looking at, and its meaning is al-ru'ya wal-mu'ayana, seeing and seeing with the eyes. In other words, the Shaykh is making the point here that if some innovator comes along and says, no, it doesn't, another or doesn't always mean looking and seeing, it can sometimes mean waiting, or it can sometimes mean such and such, then the Shaykh has given you the principle here. When nadhar means looking and seeing, and when it means waiting, and when it means reflecting, depending on which particle is used along with it, or if there's no particle along with it. And in this ayah, as we saw, the particle illa is used, it means looking and seeing. The believers will see Allah. Then he gives another ayah in the explanation as proof of this, as proof of the believer seeing Allah. He said, and He, the Perfect and Most High, said, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَ. He said, He, the Perfect and Most High, said, the ayah from Surah Yunus, the 10th surah, ayah 26, with the rough literal word, literal translation, or rough literal meaning, for those who did well in the world, or as Tabari put it, for those who did well in the world, there will be the finest reward, waziyada, and an increase. For those believers who did well, who worshipped Allah well in the world, then in the hereafter, there will be the finest reward for them, al-husna, waziyada, and an increase. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself explained the term al-husna, the finest, to mean paradise. And he explained az-ziyada to mean looking at the honorable face of Allah. And this occurs in Sahih Muslim. In a footnote they mention, Muslim reports it as Hadith 181, meaning in the Book of Iman from Sahih Muslim, and also reported by Tirmidhi. So this is a tafsir of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself explained this ayah. That the meaning of the ayah is, for those who did well, the believers who did well in the world, they will receive al-husna, they will receive paradise. Waziyada, and an increase, he said, looking at the honorable face of Allah. This is the tafsir of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is the second ayah proving that the believers will see Allah. Then he gives a third ayah. He said, and He, the Most High, said, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. Surah Qaf, the 50th surah, ayah 35. With the explanation, And usually, if the explanations I give, usually it's taken from Tabari. It's just what Tabari gives as explanation of the ayah. So for explanation, those who are dutiful to Allah will have whatever they wish in paradise. And we have something extra for them. Shaykh Fawzan said, Al-Mazid, again this term, Al-Mazid, something extra. He said, it is looking at the honourable face of Allah. So it's another ayah affirming the believers will see Allah. Then the Shaykh quotes a fourth ayah in this regard. He said, and he, the Most High, said about the unbelievers, the kuffar, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ Surah Al-Mutaffifin, the 83rd surah, ayah 15, with the explanation, but no, on that day, the unbelievers will be blocked and screened away from their Lord. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so if the unbelievers are screened away from Allah, not seeing him because they disbelieved in this world, so then they will be screened and prevented from looking upon him on the day of resurrection. And this is the greatest deprivation and the greatest punishment, and Allah's refuge is sought.
Amen.
So then the Shaykh makes the point, obviously the question arises, how is this an ayah, a proof that the believers will see Allah? It's a mention that the unbelievers will be blocked and screened away from seeing Allah. The question is there, how is it a proof the believers will see Allah? Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, so the ayah proves that the believers will not be blocked and screened away from Allah on the day of resurrection, and that they will indeed look upon him in the hereafter, because they believed in him in this world, not having seen him. Rather, they took as proof for him, he the perfect, they took as proof for him his signs and his messages sent to his messengers. So therefore Allah will honour them with looking upon him on the day of resurrection. Likewise, some of the explainers in Tafsir, they mention that this ayah is indeed a proof, as like Ibn Kathir and others, they mention this ayah is a proof that the believers will see Allah, because it mentions the punishment of the unbelievers. That the greatest punishment of the unbelievers is they'll be blocked and screened away and not allowed to see Allah. So this is mentioned in the context of punishment of them. So then, if the saying of the innovators was correct, that the believers won't see Allah either, then how will it be a punishment just for the unbelievers? It won't be a special punishment for the unbelievers, it'll be the same for the believers. So it would be no punishment. But the ayah is mentioned in the context of punishment, that they'll be punished by being blocked from seeing Allah. So the ayah is indeed, as the people of the Sunnah say, is indeed a proof that the believers will see Allah. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, وَالنَّذَرْ And looking upon the face of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, is the greatest bliss in paradise. This is the position of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And these are some of their proofs from the Qur'an. In the ayahs we've just had, these are just some of their proofs from the Qur'an for that. Then he moves on and said, as for their proofs from the Sunnah, then they are very many. Indeed, they reach the level of mutawatir. They reach the level of being reported by a very large number of people at every stage of transmission, from the companions, tabi'in, and every level down. He said they reach the level of being mutawatir, as was said by the great scholar Ibn al-Qayyim in his valuable book, Hadi al-Arwah ila Bilad al-Afrah. And he quoted the ahadith reported about seeing Allah. I mean, seeing Allah by the believers on the day of resurrection. And that they reach the level of being mutawatir. And from them, Sheikh just mentions one of them. He said, and from them is his saying, alayhi salatu wassalam, innakum satarawna rabbakum yawm al-qiyamah kama tarawna al-qamara laylat al-badr wa kama tarawna al-shamsa sahwan laysa dunaha sahab la tudamuna fi ru'yatihi aw la tadamuna fi ru'yatihi. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will certainly see your Lord on the day of resurrection, just as you see the moon on the night when it is full, and just as you see the sun bright and clear, not being covered over by clouds. And he said, you will not be put to trouble in seeing him, or you will not have to rush and crowd together to see him. In a footnote, they mentioned this hadith reported by al-Bukhari, and it's from a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, reported by al-Bukhari as hadith 554 and hadith 806 and hadith 7434, and also by Muslim. And Muslim reports it with the wording tadarruna, you will not cause harm to anyone to see him. They explain the same meaning, you won't have to crush and rush together to see him. Everyone in their own place will be able to see Allah. As indeed Sheikh al-Fawzan said, he said, meaning, the last part of the hadith, لَا تَضَامُونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ, you will not have to rush and crush together to see him. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, meaning, you will not have to scramble and crowd to see Allah the Mighty and Majestic, because every single one will see the Lord, each person remaining at his place without any crowding or scrambling. Just as the people see the sun and the moon without having to scramble and crowd. And the Sheikh said, because usually if there is something upon the earth which is hidden, then the people have to scramble to get to see it. However, if it is something raised up like the sun and the moon, then they do not have to crowd and scramble to see it. Everyone can see it while he still remains at his place. And if this is the case with regard to something created, the sun and the moon, then how about the Creator, the Perfect and Most High? Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. And that's the first half of the explanation of this point. Then the Sheikh carries on to mention about those sects who deny the seeing Allah. So we'll leave it there until next time, inshaAllah. Any points of clarification? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And just with regard to the point that of the hadith, he said something the explainers make clear and the people of knowledge make clear, as for the part of hadith that you will certainly see your Lord just as you see the sun, just as you see the moon on the night when it's full, and just as you see the sun, then they say it's not a likening of Allah, between Allah and his creation. It's not likening Allah to his creation. It is not likening Allah to the sun and the moon. Not at all. Rather, it is a likening of the people's seeing. Just as they see the sun and the moon, then certainly they will see their Lord. It's not something metaphorical, then truly they will see their Lord. Not metaphorically see him. They will truly and really see him. Just as they truly and really see the sun and the moon. But it's not a likening of the Creator to something from his creation, the sun and the moon. It doesn't mean he is like the sun or like the moon. Not at all. People of the Sunnah make that point in explanation, just in case someone misunderstands that. Brother Jazahullah Khairan, he's got the bigger sharh open here, Jazahullah Khairan. He mentions in the sharh of Ibn Abil Izz, obviously as we mentioned when we began the book, the most famous and the most excellent of explanations of the book is mentioned as being the one of Ibn Abil Izz. And that's the one that Sheikh Al-Albani and others, rahimahullah, others from the scholars have praised this explanation. And it's what Sheikh Al-Fawzan, obviously he took points from there and made an abridgment and took points from it. So in that explanation of Ibn Abil Izz, he mentioned with regard to the ayah from Surah Al-Mutaffifin, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ, that by no means they, the unbelievers, on that day will not have what they claim, that they'll have a great station with Allah. They will not have what they claim. Rather, on that day they will be blocked and screened away from seeing their Lord. Then Ibn Abil Izz mentions the saying of Imam Shafi'i about that ayah. He said that when those people, meaning the unbelievers, are screened away from him, being under his anger, then this is a proof that his beloved servants will see him being under his pleasure, his rida. Allah has sakht, Allah has anger upon the unbelievers and screens them away from seeing him. Then likewise, as Imam Shafi'i said here, this is a proof that as for his beloved servants, they will see him being having rida, having pleasure with him, and being pleased with them. نعم. يعني من النضرة وهي البهاء والحسن. ناضرة النضرة.
هذا أثر عن ابن مردويه بسنده إلى ابن عم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تعالى وجوه يومئذ ناضرة, قال من البهاء والحسن. وهذا الأثر ضعفه الشيخ ناصر في
المصحف. لعله. لكن الشيخ فوزان ما ذكره كأثر أو شيء. لغة يعني. جزاك الله خير. لا لا جزاك الله خير. لغة تانية في اللغة فقط. جزاك الله خير. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.